Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 2:26 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is February 24th. Well, Russia dispelled any question about whether they were going to invade or not today, and they moved into just about every part of Ukraine. And it's looking that Kiev will fall within the next few hours. So that unleashed a fresh round of sanctions against Russia. But one of the things that I thought was particularly interesting in the press conference that President Biden gave about an hour ago was he called out the Russian ruble, saying it was at an all-time new low. Well, that was true, but it's not true any longer. So the ruble is starting to steady up here at the lower side of this range. And it's not like it's been trending lower. So we've had a prolonged range for the last 6 years and counting. And in fact, it's looking a little oversold in the short term. Then we can think about the oil price. It was up in a really dynamic manner in early trading. But one of the other things that the Biden administration are now doing is they're going to release supply from the Strategic Reserve. And that's going to bring prices down. It's going to release a lot more supply into the market. So Brent crude getting up to $100, it's certainly likely to at least consolidate here, potentially even come back into the region of the 200-day moving average. And then we can think about West Texas Intermediate, which of course is where all of that additional new supply will be focused. And there's certainly scope here for a reversion to the mean also, where prices just got up to test the $100 area earlier on in here today. Even in agricultural markets, where we know, for example, that Ukraine is a major wheat producer, and so is Russia. And also in sunflowers, Ukraine is by far the largest exporter there as well. So wheat prices did hold onto all of the gain so far. Soybeans had rallied in sympathy, but didn't hold the gain, and in fact are closing down on the day instead. So we've got short-term overbought conditions on a number of markets. And it's, I think, quite likely now that what we're seeing with commodities is a buy the rumor, sell the news type of environment, and we're likely to see at least some pause in consolidation. And that is particularly true here of gold, because the price really did spike higher initially, and it went up more than $50 at one point, but then reversed the advance and is closing out more or less unchanged on the day. Of course, still down $14. And we have a short-term overbought condition, so it's not at all beyond the bounds of possibility that we get at least some pause in consolidation. So the market is beginning to take at least some heart from the fact that perhaps the global trade status quo will be sustained. So obviously what Russia is doing is reprehensible, and invading a democratically ruled country that at least has been a democracy for the last 30 years is reprehensible. There is absolutely no getting around that. But they're also deploying a very cool predatory type of calculus. They look at the disorganization that we have in the Western world and the internal social conflicts and the reluctance to commit to really aggressive action. And the fact that the USA has just finished 2 decades of conflict in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and has no real intention to become embroiled in another conflict, and most particularly against a sophisticated, well-supplied adversary. So Russia is simply making the determination that they have a nuclear deterrent, so there's only so far they can be pushed, or at least there's the perception there's only so far that they can be pushed. They've also concluded that they can push as much as they like, and that as long as other countries aren't pushed into a corner, then the nuclear deterrent will not be deployed, and therefore they've got a lot of leeway to do basically whatever they want. And so far, at least, what we've seen is that we've seen, for example, Sberbank came back with an awful bang in here today. And it was included in the list of sanctioned stocks. So it's down now to both a price and a valuation similar to where it was all the way back in 2008. But of course, in 2008, it wasn't been sanctioned. So it's not just anybody who can go out and buy this thing. There's the potential, at least, that some people that aren't going to be liable to US or European sanctions will be wading in here and buying because the price to book is at a really exceptionally low level. But then there are the kinds of companies that were not subject to sanctions. So Norilsk Nickel has pulled back in an exceptionally violent manner. So it was trading north of $35 about a year ago, and today it closed out at around 17, so a 50% decline, and back in the region of the lows from back in 2018. So we're certainly seeing that some of the companies that are really central to how the administration of Russia makes money aren't really pulling back, or aren't, well, I guess they have pulled back, but they're not subject to sanctions. So, in many respects, what the West has done is they've targeted individuals and they've targeted the financial system, which basically attacks the savings of the Russian administration, but they're not attacking the earning potential of the Russian administration. So, unless they were to introduce North Korea-style sanctions, cut Russia completely off from the global financial sector, stop trading with it entirely, and enforce a blockade, well, then of course that would also be pushing Russia into a corner, and it would greatly increase the potential for open conflict with Western Europe, for example. But risking that, and I guess the isn't the definition of pride is that or that someone is unwilling to cut off their own nose to spite their face. And that basically is the condition that Europe is in right now, that they can't do without Russian gas. So UK gas prices popped on the upside in here today, and they're likely to remain well bid because there's certainly a really significant question about where is Europe going to get gas from if they stop trading with Russia. So obviously this is a very fluid environment. We're certainly seeing some rebound on Wall Street. So the Nasdaq was well off its lows in here today and closing back in on that 14,000 level and unwinding the short-term oversold condition. So there is certainly potential here that we are going to push back up into this overhead range. And there's also the potential that the situation with Russia could deteriorate even further. But one would have to question, what else would Russia have to do in order for them to really tighten up on those sanctions? Because if they take Kiev today, they'll have a new administration voted in a rubber stamp manner within a matter of hours subsequently. So that will achieve one of their objectives. The two stated objectives of this invasion were to install a Russian-friendly administration and to demilitarize the Ukrainian country. So they've destroyed all of the air facilities. Now, they certainly don't want to get into a prolonged conflict where you get guerrilla warfare. And that is certainly what they're looking at because Ukrainian nationalists would certainly be resupplied by Western Europe. And then, with a clear supply line, there is just no limit to how long a guerrilla warfare type operation could persist for. But then, if Russia can basically neutralize the conventional army and install a Russian-friendly administration, well, then they might just decide that for at least the moment, job done. And if they were then to concentrate more on solidifying power, well, would there be an additional catalyst for a further tightening of sanctions? So the stock market is beginning to incorporate that view that if they are not going to, if Western governments aren't going to impose onerous sanctions that damage both themselves and Russia in response to the invasion of a major country, well, what exactly would it take? And this also, of course, helps to highlight the fact that Europe and the USA just aren't, don't have the appetite. And imposing sanctions and basically an awful lot of finger wagging probably just isn't going to get the job done. But markets are willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside because this is pretty much the status quo we've had for a while, and it's likely to persist. So we're most likely to get a reversion back to the mean. And then, of course, we get to the big question. And it is, will all of these actions, particularly releasing supply from strategic reserves of oil, will that help to moderate some of the inflationary pressures? It could certainly have an impact on growth. So will that then retard the speed with which central banks can raise interest rates? So the 10-year yield contracted really in a dynamic manner earlier on today. It was down over 11 basis points and then recouped all of it by the end of the day. So 10-year yields are still in this range and not a lot has changed here. Then we can think about some of the sectors that are really oversold. So the ARK Innovation ETF was up 4 in here today and bouncing. And it's been really quite consistent on the downside. So this is the first evidence of some support starting to come back in, and it's a downside key reversal. Excuse me, it's an upside key reversal following a really profound decline because we went to a new low intraday and we closed above the high of the previous day. If we get upside follow through tomorrow, well, then that's more than likely going to be a low of at least near term and potentially medium term significance. And to rally back up to test the 200-day moving average would be almost a double. Not quite, but not all that far off it either. So we're looking at the potential here for at least some reversionary action coming through in some of these exceptionally oversold markets, even though this looks like a completed top formation and obviously an acceleration lower. And the most likely scenario for some of these innovation sectors is that we get a sharp bounce and then a lengthy period of support building. In other words, type 1 bottoming activity followed by lengthy right-hand extension. In other words, I guess the other way of saying it is that the bull market's over and that we're now moving into the base formation, and that base formation type activity could take an awfully long time. And obviously, what happens in terms of interest rates and how quickly central banks can normalize policy is going to have a significant bearing on the future of these types of companies. Now, when we think about other markets around the world, well, Japan and India and Australia were all in negative territory today. At one point today, some of those European markets were down by over 5%. Some of the commodity-related markets are also weaker in here today. So we had a big push on the upside for the US dollar, and that was clear evidence of some flight to safe havens or traditional safe havens, but it's not being sustained. What it suggests, therefore, is that we're likely to see some rotation, and there will be greater demand for what might be deemed friendly commodity-related currencies. So that should help to support currencies like the Australian dollar, the Canadian dollar, and the Brazilian real. And The real was weaker in here today. It got all the way up to test to the five area, and that's the upper side of the base formation. So it failed to push through it in here today. But with this uncertainty that's likely to persist for the lengthy medium term, then favoring friendly commodity-related markets is probably going to be more beneficial. And we definitely saw, for example, that commodity prices, our agriculture prices, started to pause in here today. So that's going to remove at least some of the momentum behind social distress at the thought of rising food prices, but it's likely to be short-term in nature. The background effect is that we're still in an environment where we're coming out of the pandemic, where there's been a lot of distress and a lot of movement in the efficiency of supply chains, and that's likely to continue to put upward pressure on commodity prices over the medium term. But in the short term, we're likely to have at least some pause in consolidation and potentially a full reversion back down towards the 200-day moving average. So we're still in a very uncertain environment, and we're definitely starting to see that there's some buy the rumor, or I guess in this case it was sell the rumor and buy the news type activity going on in here today. And we have very short-term oversold conditions in a large number of stock markets. So there is certainly potential for reversions back up towards the mean and for some steadier action, because it does not look like NATO is willing to escalate this type of situation. So far, they are still acting in a reactive manner. So that suggests at least that the status quo has been sustained, and therefore there is the potential for a rebound, and that central banks may not be quite as eager to raise rates, and that certainly would be rewarded by investors by supporting stocks. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.